Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Right now, though, we're going to speak to another very smart man who we spoke to a while back. His name is David Patrikarakos. He is a British journalist, he's a TV producer, he's an author, and right now he's going to update us on Britain's response to the diplomatic talks with Russia and Ukraine's refugee crisis. Good afternoon, David. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
All right, thank you. So, Kathy here, Brooks is
over
also
here
in studio. And so Britain's response. Do you think Britain is going to possibly open up the borders and accept, you know, more refugees?
I think so. I think it's probably inevitable. There's a huge upswell of emotion, it's a very popular idea. Right now, Britain is taking a lot of criticism because obviously the EU has given Ukrainians visa-free travel. The only sort of country in Europe, i.e. the continent, albeit not in the actual EU, is Britain. So I expect this to change. And in fact, I've been speaking to people in government today, and I think changes are to be announced imminently.
That would be fantastic, because there's a lot of pressure being felt by Poland, but by all of Europe.
It seems to me, and I'll just pose this to you, that the two things that have the most consequences for people and they get people the most concerned about are A, refugees, and B, the price of petrol.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's very, very true. I mean, it's not only the price of petrol, by the way, it's the price of heating.
Yeah.
Because obviously, people's heating bills, Greece, for example, where I spend a lot of my time, as you can probably tell from my surname, I have Greek origin, people's heating bills triple. I mean, that's huge, right, for families on a budget. So, you know, unfortunately, people tend to sort of feel things most viscerally when it hits their pockets. You know, people like me and you guys, perhaps a little bit obsessed with politics, but for most normal people, you know, that's where they feel it most. So the whole thing is extremely unfortunate. The spillover effects, obviously the most immediate things are the absolute humanitarian catastrophe that is being wrought by Putin's bombing of civilian areas and the huge refugee crisis that emerged accordingly. But the ramifications can be felt across the world and across the globe, including South Africa.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to escape this.
I mean, I saw numbers the other day that the number of British visas issued to Ukrainians so far, it wasn't on the fingers of one hand, but it was about 1,500. Was that accurate?
I think so. It's pathetic, is what it is. And I'm hoping that it's going to increase drastically. And look, I think it has to. Look, apart from anything else, Britain has actually been, I mean, you know, the person that Zelensky speaks to every day is Boris Johnson. Britain has given a lot of military assistance and so forth. So I suspect that this is actually a bureaucratic issue. There is no way that they're not going to up it. Just because, frankly, you know, the reason that politicians tend to be very sort of skittish around immigration and refugees is because they fear a popular backlash. I mean, this is just different. People are urging, people are attacking. Even the Daily Mail, a very right-wing newspaper, was castigating the government for not allowing more refugees, which if you're British, you know what the Daily Mail is. It's absolutely hilarious. But there you go, right? When even the Daily Mail is saying that you're being too mean to the refugees, then you know that it's time to change. So, I mean, this is going to change very quickly.
David, you've written a book, War in 140 Characters, How Social Media is Reshaping Conflict. What have you seen so far?
Oh, well, I mean, there's a huge, I mean, I've been written many pieces about this. I mean, if we look at the way that the Ukrainians have done their social media, it's absolutely fantastic. It's all based around that figure of Zelensky.
Yeah.
The president of Ukraine. And, you know, I call it digital statesmanship, which is, you know, how do you communicate as a leader of a country in the digital age? And back in the day, you know, people would stand up and they would sit on a podium and they'd give long speeches with rhetorical flourishes about having a dream or about fighting them on the beaches. It's not what you do anymore. You know, Zelensky's most famous speech is a 33-second video filmed as a selfie from a phone.
Yes.
In which, you know, he's, and you know, I think you know the one I mean. He's standing with several people from the Ukrainian government and he keeps saying "tu," which is here. He says, "I'm here, the president is here, the foreign minister is here, we're not going anywhere." No rhetorical flourish, very casual, you know, very demotic. And, you know, he is literal in that video, he's both the president and the literal man in the street.
And
that's, you know, so it's very interesting to see what's been happening. You see lots of things that I find very interesting. Female Ukrainian politicians holding I don't, you know, I don't, maybe it's a Kalashnikov. I'm not an expert. I'm not an expert on weapons, which is, you know, not in a uniform and holding the gun in such a way that it's quite clear that they're not used to holding guns, just to sort of have this image of we will stay and fight, but also we are civilians. This has been forced upon us. So it's upending in many ways traditional tropes of how you communicate. So it's very, very interesting. And they've done it very, very well so far. And the Russian, you know, the Russian information operation has been pretty dismal, not least, I guess, because the war is going comparatively badly from their point of view. But it's clear that they're not even bothering to try and make the case for war. I think they know that it's lost internationally, that no one is buying this nonsense, that, you know, they're going to denazify Ukraine, least of all because the Ukrainian president is Jewish. So they're sort of focusing on trying to shore up their domestic audience. And look, as you've seen, they're cutting the country off from Facebook, they're cutting it off from Twitter. And as I said the other day, you know, Russia is slowly taking the first steps to becoming a North Korea on the European continent.
Yeah,
David, Zelensky has also, he's mastered the short form, but he's also, it seemingly, mastered the long form. He's given streaming or video streaming addresses to various parliaments. He's going to speak to the joint session of the U.S. Congress this week. And when he talked to the British Parliament, there was a distinct echo of a particular former prime minister. We will fight them on the beaches. We will fight them on the streets and in the hills.
Got a standing ovation.
Yeah. People remember that kind of phrase, too.
I mean, yeah, you're very correct. But I think what's interesting here is that there's two forms of address now, because that was very much a speech to the parliament. It got traction and playback, of course, especially because of the deliberate echo to a British audience. So I guess, we have the long and the short form. But what really goes viral now is the short form, is those 33-second video clips, and they're designed for virality. You know, the speech to the parliament is very much about ensuring the continuing supply of weapons and cash. Look, I think what's really kind of interesting here is that we need to understand the nature of our public sphere. And I say this a lot, and I repeat it, is that the public sphere used to be this accretion of newspapers and magazines and TV and radio like yourselves. And it is, it still is to a degree. But it is also now these colossal tech platforms that are algorithmically curated. And they're algorithmically created and constitutionally geared towards virality. That's the point of social media.
Yeah, David,
and
I'm
what
afraid.
The content that does best on social media is not the content that's best informed, not the content that's true, but the content that goes viral. And what goes viral is sensationalism, which unfortunately means often a lot of the time falsehoods, and that kind of short, informal, direct forms of communication. And that's what we see Zelensky doing on the ground day in, day out.
David, I'm afraid we're going to have to end it there because we have to go to the short form of news.
But you are absolutely fascinating, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's David Patrikarakos, who is a British journalist, TV producer, and author. He wrote a book called War in 140 Characters and How Social Media is Reshaping Conflict.